Good morning. That was kind of weak. Good morning. It's a great day to be in God's house today. So we continue our study in the book of Romans. Today we're in Romans chapter 7. And we look at this message this morning, taunted by temptations, the power to say no. Do you have a plan in your life to help guide you away from the things that are a trigger point for you as temptations? You see, Brody's been working hard on our building plans. This is our latest updated version. And it's a plan. Now, this is not the building itself. It's a plan. But we have to have plans to either to make sure that the building is put up correctly, to make sure every detail is as best as we can foresee before we ever start working. In our own life, we need to have a plan. We need to have a safety precaution to keep us from the very things that keep us stumbling every time. Those sins, those temptations that are geared toward us that Satan plans for us. We need to have a plan. We need to have power from the Holy Spirit to help us walk through those difficult times. Paul begins to help us understand that the very things that we often struggle with, we think when we get saved, all those things disappear. No, wrong. It's almost like they're magnified. Have your Bibles turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 25. Romans 7, verse 14 through 25. We look at a little strategy this morning to defeat temptation, to overcome the very things that Satan wants to trip us up with. I tell you, it's been a busy week. Revival a couple of nights this week, Tuesday and Wednesday night at St. John Baptist Church. Listen, a wonderful two nights of revival. It wasn't just a bunch of meetings. It was revival. Couple of days yesterday in Houston doing some mission works and ripping out and tearing out with a group of about 17 of us. Listen, God is working. If you want to get on board, come on, sign up, let's go. God is doing some great things. Don't get left behind. Don't allow Satan to throw things at you to say, I can't do it. Oh, listen, God wants to use you in great and wonderful ways. Taunted by temptations. Begin reading in 17, verse 14 to verse 7. I'm sorry. So we know that the law is spiritual. Now remember, Paul's been talking about the law a lot. The old Ten Commandments, but not only those 10, the 603 more that the Jews added. So there's 613 laws that the Jews were obligated to keep, or they declared that sin. 613. Very, very legalistic. Paul is debating with the Romans now. Listen, what the law did was help us understand where we were sinning against God, but it was not there to make us righteous. So Paul is still in this debate, and he begins to help them to see that what the law did was point out in our life what was truly wrong. In verse 14, he begins this. He says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. Now, Paul begins to put himself where we are. He said, I know I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. But when I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer myself who do it, but it is the sin living in me. Paul's talking about this battle going on inside himself. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do good, The good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law in my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Let's skip down into chapter 8, the first two verses. Therefore, Paul says, since all this is going on inside of us, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Let's pray. Father God, today, as believers, God, we know that you have paid the price for our sin. God, we know that we are set free from the penalty of the sin in our life. And in saying that, God, we realize too that we're facing temptations every day. More so as a child of yours, Father, help us to erect boundaries. God, help us to know when it's time to flee, when it's time to run, when it's time to move away. God, help us to realize the very things that are going on that Satan is plotting and planning against us, that we need to have a line of defense. Father, help us through this, not only this message, God, but to also begin to think through our own life and the very daily activities that we have, how to protect ourselves from the very one, Satan, who wants to destroy us. In Christ's name, amen. A strategy to defeat temptations. Listen, we're going to be tempted. Regardless of how good we think we are and how well we think we have ourselves encamped around with Christian folks, we're going to be tempted. So here's a little strategy. The first phase of our strategy is this, is to realize that you have a rebellious nature and it enjoys sin. There's a rebellious nature still somewhere inside of us. We're born again, we're saved, we have a spiritual nature, we have a redeemed nature, we have a born again nature that Christ has brought us to. But that old nature that we used to live in, it may be put to sleep, but it's not gone. We see in verse 14, it says, I know that God's standards are spiritual, but I have a corrupt nature, sold as a slave to sin. I don't realize what I am doing. Christians, we must realize and understand that as born again believers, our soul is saved, is reborn in Christ. It is clean before God. However, that old sinful nature has been abandoned, but it's not dead. The old sinful nature, that old rebellious nature, is in constant struggle with our new nature in Christ. There is a war going on inside of us all the time. Every day, this struggle goes on. The good dog and the bad dog fighting against one another. And anyone who says, well, I've got it all beat, they're lying. Listen, we may be further along than someone else, but there are times we get a little overconfident. We get a little cocky. Satan has been waiting for that opportunity because we put our guard down. The struggle rages on. The sinful desires of the flesh pull against our mind, pull against our will. Sometimes this battle is strong, and other times it seems to dissipate. Romans 8:5 tells us those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. What is your mind set on today? What is your mind set on today? What are you thinking on so much? What desires are deep inside of you that keep welling up? Are they focused on self-fulfillment, those self-desires that you have that God would not be pleased with? Is it a carnal mind? Or are you thinking according to the sinful nature or to with the good nature, the saved nature, the redeemed nature? When people get saved, they wonder why they seem to have those old thoughts again. Why do they keep emerging? Because of this battle that goes on. Listen, temptation is not sin, but giving in to temptation is sin. We begin to realize that just because we're saved, that old nature's still with us. And we have to still guard ourselves against it. And we have to guard our minds, what we see, what we read, what we think, all those things. I said this Tuesday night at the revival, listen, you can't stop a bird from passing over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. There's a lot of things that we need to make sure that we guard against. The second phase is this. Identify those areas of weakness that you are most vulnerable to. Identify them. So you know there's an old nature inside of you. You begin to look and say, what areas do I need to put a boundary around? What areas do I really need to guard myself against? Listen, it could be a person or a group of people. It could be it could be chocolate cake. Some of you say, what? Listen, whatever area trips us up, whatever areas or weaknesses in our lives, what are we vulnerable to? We must identify the areas that we struggle with. See, one of the best offenses is a good defense. LSU needs to learn that. The Saints this afternoon needs to learn that. See, the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. What is your weakest link? What areas do you find that you struggle with the most? Is it attention from another man? Is it attention from a woman? Is it eating? Is it greed? What is it? Is it gossip? Whatever area for you that you find is a struggle. That's the weakest link in your life. Verse 15 and 16 said, Paul saying, I don't realize what I'm doing. I don't do what I want to do. Instead, I do what I hate doing. Listen, when we struggle with a temptation and we trip up and we give into that temptation, don't you hate that? Man. Because as a born-again believer, you know that you shouldn't be doing that. You know that that has no part of your life. And you fought and you fought and you fought hard not to. And for weeks and weeks and months, you've avoided that temptation. You got kind of overconfident. And that's the moment Satan was waiting. He was waiting to make sure that you're vulnerable enough to send the temptation back. See, what temptations are you struggling with? It's only a temptation if you allow it to be. See, Paul states that I do what I hate. He hates sin, but he is coerced by his own desires and led away into saying and doing what he knows is wrong. That's part of our strategy. Part of this strategic plan that we have, we must identify our temptations, those things that entice us to sin. Listen, in this whole room, we may have a list that's so different and looks so, we're not identifying with the same temptations. what is a temptation to me may not be a temptation for Brody, may not be a temptation to Jessica. We all have those things in our life that are weaknesses, and we're vulnerable to them. We must identify them. What's in our plan? What does Satan present to you to lure you away from God? Listen, Satan doesn't cause us to sin. That old myth says the devil made me do it. That's what it is, a myth. The devil doesn't make you or me do anything. He just gives us the opportunity to do it. See, we're led away by the own lust that's still deep inside of us. Because that old nature has been put to rest. Listen, when we get away from God, we're not praying like we should. We're not reading God's word. We're not coming to worship. We're not going hanging around Christian people. There's so many things. We begin to push God off to the side. So no longer God is not in control of our life. We are. You know what happens when we're in control of our life? We start feeding that old nature back again. We start resurrecting. We douse a little water on its face to make it come to a little bit. And that old nature, because that's where all those fun times were, we remembered. That's where all those lusts, those deep desires, that's where sin is at. See, James 1, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." When our own desires drive us away. So all Satan does is create the opportunity. So the fewer boundaries we have, the more opportunities we give Satan to tempt us. The more boundaries we have, and we're protecting ourselves against those very things that we know trip us up. When we build enough wall there, we build it high enough and thick enough, and we don't go there anymore, it's amazing how less temptations we have to deal with. Because we're not giving Satan the opportunity to create that for us. Identify what desires you have that are contrary to God. And it's simple, avoid them. Avoid them. The third thing we see today is that we need to beware of sinful traps and pitfalls that Satan has brought into your pathway. We need to be sure that we understand those pitfalls that Satan brings to us. Listen, when you put your guard down, when you get a little overconfident in what you're going and what you're doing, it's amazing how we're no longer looking for the pitfalls. If we walk a sidewalk over and over again, we know every crack in that sidewalk. We learn how to step over them. We know if it jumps down a little bit. We can get a little confident one day and get sidetracked and get our mind off what we're doing, and we'll trip over the very thing we crossed over 100 times. And it gets worse with age. Verse 21 says, "Evil is present with me even when I want to do what God's standard says." Even when we want to do what God's standard says, evil is always there, looking out for the opportunity. We put our guard down, it's there. Never underestimate the enemy. His supply of tricks and situations and enticing invitations seem endless. And when you least expect it, he hits you right where it counts. He has your number. He has my number. He gives the biggest challenge of temptation, and he lets it enter the picture of our life. Understand what the temptation is. Guard yourself, but always be the lookout. When the Holy Spirit is leading you, you know when something approaches that you need to move away. You need to put the barrier up. You need to put the boundary up. And maintain those boundaries. Listen, we do not maintain our boundaries around us. Just like ranching, those boundaries begin to get very weak. gaps begin to form, and trouble lurks. It waits for us. How do you know if the temptation you face is meant for you? Romans 8, verse 6 says, the sinful mind is hostile toward God. What is your life like right now? Have you been reading your Bible? Your devotionals? Have you been praying? When you make a decision, are you seeking God first? Is it a struggle to get up and come to church? Or you really have to, man, I just don't know. I'm tired today. I don't feel... Listen, ain't nobody in this building more tired than those folks that just got home at 9 o'clock last night from a mission trip. But they're here. They're up there. They're here. We can make all kinds of excuses. But you see, the mind that's dealing with temptation becomes hostile toward God. I've learned this, that people who are entertaining a temptation don't want to be around the preacher. I don't take it personally anymore. Man, I never get invited to go fishing. Man, I never go hunting. No, I'm just kidding. But you see, the sinful mind gets hostile toward God and the things of God and the people of God. So when does a temptation invoke hostility in you toward God? Does it invoke you to gossip, or you become irritated toward church, toward prayer and God and all the things of God? See, the sinful mind is hostile toward God in anything that represents God. Sinful traps of temptation are not fair. Listen, Satan doesn't fight fairly. He doesn't. There aren't any rules for him. Listen to that, Christian. There aren't any rules for Satan. He can't have your soul, but he can mess everything else up. Listen, he can mess your family up. He can mess your marriage up. He can mess your job up. He can mess your recreation life up. He can mess your health up. Everything is on the table for him. Everything. And when you start chasing a temptation, you'll find yourself saying, well, I never thought I'd do this again. Well, I never thought I'd get to this point. And he's taken you so far that you don't know how to get back. He's brought you so far trailing after a temptation. Satan has no rules to play by. See, you're obligated to walk with God. You're obligated to stay focused on Christ. You're obligated to surrender your life to him. You have rules to play by, but he doesn't. And he takes advantage of it. The fourth thing we see is when you're dealing with temptation, know who you are in Christ. Because Satan will try to tell you that you're nothing. He'll say, you call yourself a child of God? Look what you're looking at. Look what you're chasing after. Look what you want. Look what you desire. Know who you are in Christ Jesus. Verse 25 says, I thank God that our Lord Jesus Christ rescued me. Remember that you are born again believers, saved by the blood of Jesus, kept by the power of God, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. You are an heir to the kingdom of God. That's who you are. Verse 14 and 16 of Romans 8 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. Now, if we're children, then we're heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. See, you have this home in glory that awaits for you. When the temptations come, remember that you are a child of God. Remember that greater is he who is in you than he who's in the world. Remember who you are. Set your mind on things above, and you won't be bogged down in temptations of the day. As a child of God, you have power and authority over Satan and his temptation that brings to you. Listen, those temptations have no authority in your life other than what you give them. Other than what you give them. And the last thing, fifth thing we see is choose to allow the Spirit of God to lead you through a temptation. And not only through a temptation, but past the temptation. See, God will give you the power when you give your will over to Him. See, the first thing we need to do is admit that we're struggling with a temptation. It's to admit that to ourselves, but also admit to God. See, we don't want to admit to ourselves that we're struggling with it because we think we have it licked already. I'm a child of God. I'm filled with the Spirit. I don't have a problem with this temptation anymore. Keep that attitude up. 2 months from now, you'll be biting the dust on it. See, now you're starting to put the confidence in yourself and not the confidence in God. You see, admit that you're struggling with a temptation. Listen, God already knows what you struggle with. He knows what I struggle with. This will not catch Him off guard. But God wants us to know and admit to Him and have this dialogue with God, this conversation that, God, this thing, this person, this situation is a temptation for me. God's not going to say, oh, what? He's going to say, I know. And my grace is sufficient for you to go through this. See, God doesn't tempt anyone. He gives us the power and the Holy Spirit to walk through it. So admit that we're struggling with the temptation, but also then to submit our will to the Spirit's direction. See, verse 6 of chapter 8 says, the mind of the sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. You're not obligated to listen to your desires or to Satan, but you are obligated to listen to God and seek His will for your life and the decisions that you're going to make. See, when we're honest with God, and listen, I encourage you to be honest with one other person that you truly trust. Just be honest with them. Some accountability. Sometimes they're going to speak the word that you need to hear, and sometimes they're just going to listen. Accountability with a person that you trust. And God helps us through those temptations, through those trying times when the devil begins to really oppress on us. Choose to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. The last thing is this, is to resist or rebuke Satan and reject the temptation he has set before us. So your strategy, your plan is to send Satan running for shelter. So in the name of Jesus, you send Satan running for shelter. But the word says this. James chapter 4, verse 7 says it this way. It says, place yourselves under God's authority. In other words, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will run away from you. He will flee from you. Come close to God and he will come close to you. Here's a problem, Christian. For too long we've been told, oh, you have the power in you to do it. You have a power in you to overcome temptation, overcome sin. Listen, the power in you is the Holy Spirit. But if you're running your life, you push the Holy Spirit off to the side. He's still living in you, but he's not in control. So the first part of that verse says, submit yourselves to God. A while ago I said, when you admit to God you're struggling with a temptation, you're struggling with a situation in your life, next thing was submit yourself. It's basically telling God this. God, you know this situation, you know this issue, you know this person, whatever it may be. God, you know that is a weakness for me. I struggle. I struggle because I meet this person, I get very angry. God, when I see this person, there's desires and feelings in me that I know shouldn't be there. God, I can't deal with this anymore. God, I can't fight this battle anymore. God, I pushed you aside because I wanted to be in control. I know your Spirit lives in me, but I have not submitted myself to you. and I have not allowed the Holy Spirit to live in the throne of my life. I keep pushing him off. I want to control it, God, and I can't. God, today I give myself completely to you. I submit my will to you. Father, you are Lord of my life. Would you lead me? Lead me even through these situations. And God, I pray every day that I submit myself to you. The power we have is in our submission. When we submit ourselves to God, he is now in control. The rest of that verse says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. When temptations come, hey, sometimes it's best that we just move ourselves away, but sometimes we have to work with that person. Sometimes we're with him all the time, and we have to, before, says God, today, I know I'm going to the office. I know I'm going to school. I know I'm going to this, and Lord, this situation, I'm in close proximity to this person. God, I submit my will to you. And Father, would you lead my life? You see, we need to submit ourselves every day because it's very natural for us to want control. We want control. We want control our life. We want control everybody else's life too. We can't do it. Submit ourselves to God. What about you? What about your plan? How do you say no to temptation? Well, you have to know what you're tempted about. You have to identify, and you have to be able to spot those temptations before they even become reality to you. You have to put those boundaries around you. And listen, every day, submit your will to God. Because this battle that's going on inside is really between you and God. And when we're in control, we make Satan's job a whole lot easier. Because now when he sends temptations, we begin to entertain those temptations. And we begin to entertain those temptations. It's very easy for us to be seduced right back into the same problem or enticed to go into that same situation. And we beat ourselves up as Christians, wondering why. Where's my power? Well, the power is in you and the Holy Spirit. But you told him to take a back seat. You wanted to drive the bus. Today, would you submit yourself to God? Would you truly submit yourself to God? Knowing that Christ Jesus has saved you. Your sins are washed away. When temptations come, the authority that lives in you is God Almighty himself. But he's a gentleman. He doesn't force you to make him Lord. He wants you to do that by an intentional act of your will. Will you give the Lord truly lordship over your life? Let's pray together. Father God, today, God, this message goes to all of us because we're all tempted. Temptation is not a new thing, Lord. It's been here since the Garden of Eden. Satan was so bold and so brash that he tried to tempt our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, today, since we're all in this together, Father, this word speaks so strongly to us that Paul has written. Because so often, God, we do the things that we don't want to do, and the things that we want to do, we do not do. Father, I pray this morning that your children submit their will to you completely. And Lord, you teach them how to have boundaries. You teach them how to watch for the very things, noticing the red flags out there where temptations are. In Christ's name, amen.